Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
And this is the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to join with us tonight as we celebrate the name of Jesus,
Amen.
The people of God, and just I'm so full and excited about what God is doing. You know, when you see the hand of God working in the lives of different ones, and the fact that God would choose to use you to be instrumental in their development, mm-hmm. it does something on the inside of you. Words cannot express. We are at a loss to articulate the grace, the wonderfulness of God. But guess what? He is doing something. And he keeps doing great things for me. Amen. Tessie Hill, you sing that song, right?
Amen. Yes,
I went way back, but that's okay. He keeps on doing great things for me, and we're so grateful that he is doing those things. So we want you to join with us as we celebrate Jesus.
Amen.
And the other thing is, before we go any further, I'm just going to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal, and she's going to give us our announcement and lead us in our prayer, and let's get into this word. Amen. Prophetess.
Amen. Good afternoon, or good evening, everybody, and once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This day's announcements are as follows. On Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. At 7 p.m. on Thursday nights, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website. We welcome you to our website. We ask that you would drop us a line there on our contact page, get to know more about our ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and the people that are there, Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. We'd love to hear from you. Also, we ask that you would, as you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister at your program or at your church, that contact page, leave all your information there. We will make sure that we contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Also, if you would like to become a vision or a prayer partner with this ministry, we encourage you to do so. Same thing, go to our contact page, leave your information, amen. We'd love to hear from you and how much you wish to give. Also, people of God, I want to let you know, please go to our Facebook pages, Women of Destiny, also known as WOPD, or Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Like us on our Facebook page. You can also leave your prayer request as well as your praise report. We want to hear what God is doing in your life and through your life and mostly what he's doing with you in the kingdom of God. Now for the most exciting news that we have, on October 18th and 19th, I'm personally inviting you to join me for my women's conference right here in Cocoa, Florida. Conference. This year's theme is Don't Abort Your Assignment, a powerful message that God has dropped in my spirit for his people. We're having many men and women coming from all over the United States that are trying to make their way here for this conference. I want you to be there as well. Church that is hosting the conference, Greater St. Paul, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries is hosting the conference, but we are at location at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. That's Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Once again, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is hosting the WOPD conference, and the church is being held, the conference is being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. More information, you can go to our website, www.ctkr.org. To find out that information, you please register on my website. Click on the WOPD page. Register right there. Let us know that you're coming. We want to see your face in the place. Amen? Amen. Those are the announcements for this day. Now let us go to God in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. God, we glorify you, for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it. We're glad to be alive, God, just to wave our hands one more day. We're just glad to say that your hand is up on us. We're thankful, God, and we're so, so grateful for your mercy and your grace upon us. Now, Father, as we go into this word, we humble ourselves this day. We humble ourselves at your feet. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way. Forgive us for all our sins, sins of omission and commission. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. That cleansing blood, that purifying blood, wash us and make us whole again. In Jesus' name, God, as your word comes forth through the man of God, crown him with your understanding and your wisdom. Let him speak forth the oracles this evening, God. Let him bring revelation, enlightenment, and most of all, in all of our getting, let us definitely walk away with an understanding. Let this word begin to transform our lives. We allow it. We say, have your way. Come in. Do what you want to do, as only you know how. Father, it is time for us to manifest your glory in the earth. It's time for us to dust off our hands and begin to war and fight in the spirit. Teach our hands to war like David said unto you. Father, we thank you and we praise you again. We glorify you, for greater are you than is it that is in us than he that is in the world. God, transform our mind in the name of Jesus to have the mind, your mind, tonight. We thank you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. So thankful for that prayer and for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say with the announcements, we're grateful to Pastor David Bryan and Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church for opening up their doors and allowing us the Woman of Prophetic Destiny at their location. And we're looking forward to the things that God has given us to do. We travel with this conference, and we have several churches that God's allowed us to go to and have a dynamic outpouring at those locations, from Pennsylvania to Ohio to Uganda, Kenya. I mean, we've been some of every place. Amen. We're looking forward to this one here. We've had several here in Florida. We're looking forward to what God is doing. And this one you don't want to miss. I'm telling you, the sense of expectation, spirit of expectation is high. And I'm telling you, we are expecting God to do some great things. But then this is why we are preaching and ministering in the vein where we are. There are so many things that God is trying to get us to understand, so many things that are happening within the world and within Christianity. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice, amen, when we miss what God is saying, because we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I wish I had time to really get into some of the social events that are going on in the world. Mm-hmm. One of them just happened over the past weekend, and it stirred up such a, so much dust, amen. And, you know, there's one thing that we have to be very careful about, and that is you have to remember at all times that Christ is our righteousness, amen. Yes, yes. He is our justification. So if he is our righteousness and he is our justification, then that means that if he's working in your life and has worked in your life, then you have to allow him to work in somebody else's, amen. And the difference is, and we've seen this before, there are some people who get saved today and give up totally. Lord, whatever you want, it's yours. I give it to you. Take all of me. And you see them take off like a rocket because they drop everything that they can. If there's something that they know wasn't God and they was trying to hold on to it and make excuses, and that's what a lot of people try to do. They try to make excuses for behaviors that they want to keep instead of letting them go for Christ's sake. Amen. But if you see some of those people who will let it go, and you see them take off, then you'll be looking at them a year from now, and they'll be preaching the gospel and you know, doing stuff that you hope you can someday get to. Amen. They doing it. Amen. That's true. Not the time to get jealous and upset and talk about, I know where you came. You ain't been a bit more saved since. Wait a minute. Hold on. You don't know when they fell and from what level they fell. I was sharing with some spiritual children of ours over in Texas, and they, I was saying, listen, you have to understand, restoration, in God's term, God returns to you what you lost. The Bible speaks to us about, and I will restore to you the years. He didn't say it's going to take you years to get back into good graces. He said, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, the locust has devoured from you. When God restores, he don't make you go through this little, come on up here and we're going to let you get back in good graces. You know what you did. Guess what? Stop. Hold it. What is grace? What is the mercies of God? What if forgiveness and the blood lost its power? How can you live knowing the sin that is in your life that the blood has covered? How dare you take someone else and hold their sins out as if you've never sinned a day in your life? Lord, we got to get it together. Oh, yeah, I know that this doesn't make this popular, amen, because people will tell me how I'm going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed when you learn how to forgive like God forgave. When you learn how to act like he act, then you're going to be a blessing to others, amen. It's interesting, in the Bible, and I'll just allude to this, and I'm going to get into the scripture, if the Holy Spirit lets me, that we had. But in the Bible, there's the story of Zacchaeus, and Jesus coming, and Zacchaeus was a man of small stature who climbed up into a sycamore tree, if you will. And as he climbed up in this tree to see, just to get a glimpse of Jesus, Jesus stopped and had a dissertation with him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to your house to eat. And Zacchaeus hurried up and came down and went, and they sat down and supped. And while they were there, Zacchaeus' life was changing. He said, I'm going to pay back anything. If I've done anything wrong, I'm going to right it. If I've taken anything from anyone, then I'm going to restore it to them, you know, with usury. And he just had a total life change. Now, even in that day, there were the haters who said, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's not somebody. He's a sinner. If anybody's a sinner, surely he is. How can Jesus sit down and eat with him? How can there be any interaction with them? But Jesus knew what he was doing. And today, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. The Holy Spirit is the one that moves upon the heart and causes us to respond in certain ways. People are doing things now, and this is what's blowing your mind. We've been telling you that God is about to raise up some people, and he's raising up some resources from unlikely sources, unlikely places. You've already put these people in hell. They'll never be saved. They'll never have a word, a testimony. They'll never have a witness. And God says, listen, that was your plan. Now, watch my plan. And as he begins to do what he does, we're seeing Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was very successful in the workplace. He had money.
Sure did.
Huh? And because he had money and he had used it towards his own gain and his own will and way, people looked at him as being a sinner. Huh? Even the way that he made his money was a problem with those saintly people back then. Amen? So, now, I'm not even going to put a face on this, but think about it. What would happen if Zacchaeus came and blessed you and your congregation? Could he be forgiven? That's a subject for another day. Amen? Because we are quick to put people in a caste. We have a caste system, and you are what you are. You're a sinner. We talk to you. We speak to you about the grace of God, but we have difficulty demonstrating that grace amongst people, and we can't do this. Amen? God is trying to get us to get this right. Amen? So what is our behavior? How should we be acting? Well, let's look at this. Philippians 2 and 1. Amen. Let's start there. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Remember I was sharing with you on the last broadcast that one of the main things that we as the fivefold ministry, we have to understand Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13, till we come to the unity of the faith. You see that? The knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Notice this, because we're talking about maturity and development. Amen. In all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplieth according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth, you see that, of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, our job is to prepare the people and get the people together so that we can all mature, grow, and develop. And as we are mature and develop, then we begin to do our part in every joint supplier.
Uh-huh.
Huh? So if every joint supplier and you're doing your part, then you're more concerned about being in unity with the body. Amen? So when he said, fulfill my joy being like-minded here in Philippians 2, huh? Having the same, the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, listen, what causes us to have these problems? Well, here, when we begin to speak here, we begin to see that your problem comes from your personal ambitions. James, the fourth chapter, James 4:1 says, where does wars and fights come from among you? Huh? When he begins to speak this, he begins to say, you know, we know why you're fighting.
They come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members. In other words, your flesh is so on parade that you're trying to do any and everything to satisfy you. But you got to understand something. If your flesh is that alive, you need to turn down your plate. You need to, instead of laying in your bed, why don't you make a pallet on the floor so that you can lay out before God and just cry out to him. You know, when you have such a high esteem for yourself that you can't think of laying before God, you can say it, but we never see you do it, then you need to have a floor ministry. Now, we have a member, and they talk about floor ministry. And I said, you know, there's nothing the matter with floor ministry. But see, the thing is, and I'm not talking about them per se, I'm speaking in general now. The problem that a lot of people have is when it comes down to floor ministry is that they have a pride issue with the floor. I can't do that. Okay, well, listen, there's a time when you need to allow the Holy Spirit to really do something for you. Huh? And if you are there and he's doing the work, you know, we're looking at the results of what happened, not how you look what was happening. I don't know a pretty face that's going into surgery, huh? And was concerned about how pretty they was in surgery. They was concerned that while they in surgery, that the work being done was being done correctly. Amen? After I heal up and physical therapy and everything from this surgery, I'll be pretty.
Right.
Right now, go in there, no matter how ugly it got to get, take care of the problem, get it right. And we've been worried about the cosmetic effect of salvation instead of the inward working of salvation. Sometimes you have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do a work on the inside of you. Your flesh is too alive. You know, anytime that God can speak to you and you think that you have standing, amen, to even have a discussion with him as to whether or not what he said will be valid, means that your flesh is arguing with God. There was a play that came out years ago that said that your arms are too short to box with God. And I think that that is one of those shows that we need to go back and revisit, because people got some really long arms now. But even with that, no matter how far reach you feel you have, you don't have the reach that he has. You don't have the ability he has. He has more strength than you'll ever have. Huh? So if he's not working against you, then you need to learn how to work with him. Amen? And the thing is that in the developing or the development of you as a child of God, he's working on you, getting you together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I see that clearly. He just showed me something. When you were a child and you were about to go outside, your mother, your father took time to make sure that you looked right before you walked out the door. At least at my house, we didn't just walk out the door with whatever on. Mother and father took time and looked at us and looked us over and made sure that we looked like we represented them. And that's what God is doing now. He doesn't let you just walk out looking all rat-tatted, whatever. He don't let you come out looking all messed up, hair all nappy on top of your hair with everything that your cover has on it. You got a multicolored bedspread, and in your head is every color represented, and you walking out the door. No, mother and father took time to say, hey, you got some lint and stuff in your hair. Go wash your hair. Go put some water on your face. Use some soap. Get behind your ear. Oh, look, a toothbrush. You know, they made sure that you were presentable in every way. And God, our Father, is doing the same thing to us. We ain't walking out just looking like anything, talking about we the children of God. He's chastising us. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And what he's doing right now is he's saying, your flesh is too much on parade. You're asking, you're praying, you're trying to seek me for your personal stuff. And James 4 and 1 goes through here down to about the 6th verse. Amen. And I think the 6th verse wraps it pretty good when it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what are we doing here? Huh? We've been befriending the world. We've been trying to get the world to look at us and understand us. Mm-hmm. And listen, the other thing is we've been praying that God save people. Mm-hmm. And when God begins to save them, then your flesh stands up and talks about who got saved. Thank God people are coming into the kingdom of God. Thank God the power of God is working in their lives. Now, when you find yourself on the judgmental side of a conversation, then it's time for you to go back, amen, and get yourself together. Because it worked for them, but somehow or another, it stopped working for you. I can show you what happened, huh? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, we can go there, amen. You know, because sometimes we see things, and because things are happening in our life, we hold on to things. So now, when we're supposed to have the mind of Christ and we're supposed to walk according to his mind and his thinking and everything else, our minds are still too loud. Hello, somebody. We're still trying to validate our thoughts. We're still trying to validate our ways. Amen? And we got to let that go. Come on, let's go back here to Philippians 2. Amen? It says, here in the 3rd verse, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, like I read in James, the war is going on, but it's a personal war within your members. You want everybody to see you in a certain light. And even when you're challenged concerning your behavior and things about you, your pride, your flesh stands up and defends itself. If you have a title affixed to your name, you can be some of the worst offenders. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, but people call me Brother McQueen. I don't correct them and tell them, I'm an apostle. Guess what? I was brother first. Huh? You're not disrespecting me by calling me Brother McQueen, because I am Brother McQueen. That's just like my name is Christopher, as well as Mr. McQueen, as well as husband Christopher McQueen, as well as pastor, senior pastor. You see what I'm saying? All of these things, I'm still the same person. But if I'm not a child of God, none of those other titles make a difference. Someone trying to figure out what an apostle is and have seen many misrepresentations to it may just choose to validate that I am a saint to start with. Brother McQueen? Yes, I'm brother. Oh, you minister? Yeah, I'm minister. Oh, well, how do you, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, we've been ministering since 1989, and we've been doing this and traveling around, and the Lord has blessed us to have ministries under us. We have sons and daughters under our ministerial covering who are prophets and evangelists and pastors and bishops and apostles, and we're just graced, you know, to be used by God. Oh, okay, so you're a chief apostle. Well, chief only describes the fact that of those that I cover, I am the covering apostle. But it doesn't make me a greater apostle than everybody else, because the grace of God on my life that qualifies me as apostle also qualifies my perimeter of influence. Woo! Perimeter. Sphere of influence. That means he called you to a work, an assignment. He gave you a task. Your skill set tells us what task you've been assigned to. Maybe you can go into different churches and help set the ship aright, but you're not supposed to be the one running that ship. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because there are other ships that need to be set aright. That doesn't mean that you go show up at people's house, y'all messed up in here, I'm coming to get you together. No. If you weren't sent, sit down, shut up. Stop trying to go in people's place because of your title and make them think like you think. Everybody has functions within itself. It would be silly for my lungs to try to do the job of my heart. It'd be foolish for my brain to try to do the work of my nervous system. See, What God called you to, he qualified you for that work. And every place else, you're out of place. Amen? So when you learn how to do that, then you can learn how to do things for kingdom expansion without trying to do it for your expansion. This third verse here says something very simple, and we got to get it in our hearts and in our minds. It's that let nothing, nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That means that if you are in there trying to do something for yourself and not for him, then you need to stop trying to do it at all. Huh? Because while you're doing that, you're trying to build up you, and Christ can't shine through your work. You understand? He shines through his assignment or his work. It is his purpose. It is his will. It is his plan. Huh? It is our responsibility to be obedient and execute his plan for his will and for his purpose. Amen. Somebody. Huh? So when he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, comma, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That means that even if you are there and you can out-preach somebody, you need to learn how to encourage somebody. As a musician, there are so many different musicians who can play different skill levels, and you learn how to go in and hear people and appreciate what they have come up with. Whether or not you can outplay them, outsing them, you know, really doesn't matter. You know, if this is their time, celebrate them in their time. You see that? Now, if you really want to impress somebody, instead of talking about them, talk with them and help them to develop their skills. One of the greatest joys that I have ever experienced in my life is really teaching and watching people get it. See, that right there, when I see you get it, I'm like, woo, my wife would tell you. And we had a young man who came over, and he said he's always in teaching mode, ain't he? You know, and my thing is being in teaching mode, you know, allows me to always see where you are, never judge where you're at, but always seek to help you to become greater in who you are. That means that if you're doing something and I say, ooh, that's good. Hey, let's add this to that, because, you know, they're like, yeah, man, I didn't even think about that. Well, you know, it's simple things sometimes, because we can do A, B, V, E, F, G. You know, we forgot C. And somebody point out you forgot C. They're not telling you that you're not intelligent enough to know that there's a C there. They're telling you that you didn't apply it properly, or helping you to see that it could have fit right there. Well, I'm doing a different kind of alphabet. I was coming back for C. It's what most people say, because you don't want people to know that you forgot C. Well, listen, drop the pride, get the chip off your shoulder. Amen. And let's come in together in unity and love. Let's do everything we need to do to grow. Amen. We're not know-it-alls, and we're not trying to show people up. Amen. But we are trying to help and provoke growth in the body. Amen. And when we do that, then God gets the glory out of it. Amen. Let's continue reading here. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the others better than himself. Listen to this right here. Because just in case you didn't understand what he was saying or what was being said, let's look at it according to his explanation of his statement. For first, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In other words, don't try to put somebody else down so you can get up. Don't try to tear people down trying to build yourself up. That's clear cut right there. Huh? But that means that my job as a man of God, as a child of God, should be looking, trying to get us to a place where everybody benefits in the body. Huh? There's no place where I'm great and you're not great. If I was sharing with some of the singers and some of the musicians during one of our rehearsals for this conference coming up. And I was saying, listen, we look good together or we look bad together. But whatever we're going to do it together. And I want you to know, in the body of Christ, we have this separatist spirit that has been birthed out from the me, look at me, look at me volumes, amen, of how to do church. And instead of trying to make sure that the body of Christ is covered and look good, people have been trying to make themselves look good at the expense of others. The problem with that is that the world is looking at us, tear each other down, and they don't know how to find Christ because we never showed them that there was a Christ. We showed them that we was there, but we never showed them Christ. Amen? And if we don't show them Christ, how can they find him? Huh? Well, let me look at another scripture here. Fifth verse. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of man, as a man, he humbled himself. That means that even though he was God in flesh, he didn't walk around like he was God in flesh. Chip on his shoulder. Do you know who I am? The Bible shows us that even when they tried to press him towards the cliff, that he slipped through their fingers. Okay. He could have called at that time and had a show of authority. And said, y'all don't know who I am. And the angels would have lit up the sky. And people would have, oh, and walked away. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, oh, oh. No, he didn't do that. The Bible said that no man could touch him. You see that? In other words, as they came towards him, he simply walked away from them. That was it. Now, when you are supposed to be a child of God and you need 7 to 12 armor bearers, all of them packing heat and tasers and everything else and batons, as if you need Secret Service protection around you, then you mean that the power of God can't protect the man, the woman of God? Could it be that you know the words? You know, or the jargon of God, but you don't understand the power of God? No, we just, you know, there's people that are crazy out there. Yes, and he gave me the power over crazy. Amen? He gave them authority over all manner of sickness and disease. Sickness in the mind, disease in the body. If somebody's coming at you and they sick, use your authority. In the name of Jesus, cast the devil out. But you gotta have the authority first. Thank you, Prophet. See, all this foolishness the world is looking at, and here Jesus is telling us, or Paul is telling us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Even though he was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. We say that we're servants, but we don't see a lot of serving, you know, in leadership. We see a lot of self-promoting and bandstanding, but we don't see a lot of serving. Amen. We have teams and we have committees and the deacons go out and do things and we don't show up at the foot of our members. One of the things my wife said, and we witnessed her, if I may, your father. Okay. Yes, let me see. We got to get permission because, you know, this is family here. Amen. But their father, mother and father, went to a church. It was mostly Caucasian. Sitting in there and, you know, oh, these are wonderful people. And they, big tithers and offering givers and everything. Her father passed. Not one member from clergy or from the leadership or from any other level of administration from that church showed up for the family or showed up at the funeral. I did the eulogy and buried him. You know, and we have to look at what's actually happening in the body of Christ, because people are looking at this. Why are they walking away from church? Because they see, you know, dedication, but they don't see it reciprocated. You can't say that you're a bond servant, you know, or you're a servant, and then when it's time to serve, you know, you're too good to serve. Amen, somebody. Well, if I was too good to serve, then was I too good to receive all those tithes and offerings from you? You have ministerial staff. Who came? Who did you assign? Did you send? Did you even take note that a member was missing? See, when we start dealing with this look, Jesus knew, not just because he was God, but because he took time to know those who were around him. I shared with you before, there was the 12 that he sent out that he kept close to him, but we also see witness in scripture where he sent out 70. That means that there were 70 others. That means that as a total, if we just put all those together, you can say that over 80 people were sent out by Jesus. That means that he knew enough of them to send them out to represent him. Huh? But we got to get back to representing him. Our flesh, our personal self-ambitions, you know, those things that we're trying to do, we got to, you know, hold up and wait and ask God which way to go in, how we need to be pursuing, and the like. And let him exalt you. Amen? The Bible says something that's really strong. It said, let another praise you. Amen. So, if I'm trying to toot my own horn, and I understand the model that we use today when we're dealing with things, we have to promote the programming and the things that are going on. I'm not talking about that. Like, we have the Women of Prophetic Destiny. You have to know about that. We have to put the advertisement out. We have to let you know. There's a certain way that we have to get it out so that the knowledge of the event is out there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about self-promotion. You show up at everybody's event and you're going to try to out-sing everybody. You're going to try to outplay everybody. You didn't get the microphone, so in the parking lot, you out there trying to out-prophesy everybody. Lord, help us today. We have seen some things. We have seen some things. Amen. And people, you know, you can't tell them this is improper for you to be out here trying to prophesy and get people to see how deep and wonderful you are. You know, they don't want to give me the mic. They don't want to give me the mic because they know I'm going to go up in there and tell them. Well, that's the reason why you're not getting the mic, because this isn't for your flesh to be on parade. If there's not a word of God that's in you, but a crimination from your self-righteousness, nobody needs to give you that mic. Amen. I know you didn't want to say amen to that, but you need to. Amen. See, the thing is that we've been trying to put people in office based on how saved we feel we are. See, I don't understand how you can be greater than Jesus.
I know that's right.
And you're supposed to be a follower of him. The Bible says that he came in a form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men 8:1, and being found in the appearance as a man.
Yes.
In other words, he didn't come down here saying, I'm God. He allowed them to discover for themselves who he was. He began to say to them, who do men say that I am?
Yes.
You see that? He didn't say, he said, I'm God. I'm working this out here. Doc, did you see what happened? They brought that blind man to me. What did they think was going to happen? Took care of that straight away. You know I got to go. No, no, we didn't see or hear anything like that from him. He asked the question. He said, who do men say that I am? Because the one thing, and we have a friend of ours who said this to me. He said, you know, you can really appreciate when somebody knows who they are. Nobody has to push them or promote them. They don't have to push or promote themselves or let everybody know who they are and, you know, what happened when I laid my hand. Did the Lord speak to me? How did that bless your life? Yeah. No, they don't have to do that. They simply do the work, and the work speaks for itself. Amen? And as they said that, you know, Jesus did the work, and the work spoke for itself. So when he asked the question, what they had to validate who he was based on what he did.
Yep.
You see that? So they came back with, some say you are Elias, and some say that you are a great prophet, and others say, you know, he said, you know what, that's all good, wonderful. Thank you for telling me who they say I am, because that was the question. Who do men say I am? But now, who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. And in that instance, you know, it goes from what you've heard to what you know. And brothers and sisters, this is where the rubber hits the road. Do you know Jesus? Huh? Because if you don't know him, then when it's time to represent him, you don't know enough about him to give a proper representation of Christ in the earth. So we have people who are walking around misrepresenting Jesus, thinking that they're doing the right thing. And because the enemy of your soul knows that it's not the proper representation, he applauds you. Because he's been trying to tear down the image of Christ forever. Huh? He's been trying to do that. And now here you are trying to do well or do right, but you won't submit. You won't humble yourself. Jesus humbled himself. Amen. I just dealt with the first part of that. Appearing in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Okay, number two, and became obedient. Oh, hang the hat.
Yep.
Okay, I'm humble. Okay, God said do blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Y'all asking a bit much, ain't you? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Was it too much for Jesus to die for you? Huh? Was it too much for him to forgive you after you said, Lord, I'm never going to do it again. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. Whoo, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. If you get me out this one this time, I'm like, ooh, you ain't going to find me around here. Lord, please help me. And just as soon as the heat cooled off a little bit, he go tipping around here. You know, I got something to go take care of. Wait a minute, hold on. We got to get rid of this fair weather Christianity. When things are good, you know, we don't know Jesus. And when things are bad, we the most humble servant. Work it out, Jesus. Do it again. One more time. Do it again, Jesus. Wait a minute, hold on. Can you just get it together? Can you properly love him and represent him without your flesh getting in the way? Why is it that we have to misrepresent Christ? Why don't we just learn him? Let's read on. Because this obedient right here is not just obedient to be you know, when I like it and we got to talk when it don't quite fit my comfort. Because Here it says, and became obedient to the point of death. Even, well, I died, but I want to be quick, you know. Give me a quick bullet. If I'm gonna die, just you know, I don't want to have to feel it long. Okay, wait a minute, hold on. If suffering is what is needed, can you suffer? No. Will you suffer? See, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That means that I'm going to be obedient even to the point of death. I know it's going to take my life. I'm going to do it anyhow. Because many people are saying, I'll go all the way. But when he announces, okay, what all the way will mean, then we're trying to find alternative. I need a second, Lord, because I need you. I'm going fast. Just go, I need y'all fasting with me. You calling your prayer buddy. You calling your fasting buddy. You calling people around the country. You sowing into everybody's ministry that you see. They're asking them to pray with you. Guess what? Stop sending your money around. You go ahead and eat, because what God said is still going to come to pass. Obedient even to death, even the death of the cross. Ninth verse. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. Now, look here and see the progression. Jesus came in the form of flesh. Amen. Even though he was God, he took on the form of flesh and became a servant. Amen. And he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to what? To the will of the Father. Amen. So it's not just becoming obedient because the pastor said so. Become obedient to the will of God. Amen. And God allows your leadership to see which way your development needs to go. That's why they'll tell one person, you need to stop doing this, and don't say nothing to somebody else. Because maybe you have a problem in that area where it doesn't bother the other person. Amen. Paul was talking to them. He said, listen, you know, I can do all things and it's no problem. But, you know, if eat meat is going to cause my brother to stumble, I'd rather not eat meat. Amen. Well, if the pastor ain't said nothing to them and they over there, listen, in your flesh, you're fighting with this thing here. The Holy Spirit has showed us where that is, and in order to get you over that so you can continue moving on, you need to let that go. Well, why ain't he saying something to them? Because they got to deal with something else. You understand? Obedient. You see that?
Yep.
Do what he's telling you to do. And when you're obedient, then we'll see what happens. Because when God elevates you, when God validates you, when God lifts you up, then nobody can take you down. When God puts his stamp of approval on you, he's already looked through the annals of time and seen throughout eternity that you stand as one that he will back. Amen. And when you stand as one that he will back, you have already gone through every type of trial and test that you need to get to this level. Did I say that you were perfect? No, I did not. What I said, you have gotten to this level. Now, as you are at this level, God knows how to continue pushing you towards the right direction. You understand the plan, the will of God. You're walking out the precepts of God. God knows that the steps that he set before you as a righteous man, you're going to walk them out. Now he can start blessing you for each step. You're walking to greater blessings and greater levels of authority. And you know, because you're not getting new things. Amen. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians, the first chapter, third verse. So when we look at that, you already got what you're going to get, but you don't have it. It hasn't manifested, Galatians 4 and 1, until you get to a place where the Father releases it into your hands. And if you look at Galatians 4, you begin to see that as you mature, then it comes out from under stewards and guardianship into your rule, because the Father has designed it at such set time that you should have what he's already giving you. Amen?
Amen.
So you mature into it. You want to get these blessings? You want to get the gifts of God? You want things to work out for you? Mature. Develop. Get rid of your selfish ambitions and stop trying to parade your flesh. When God blesses somebody else, stop trying to be self-righteous and find fault in why they shouldn't have got a blessing. All that is jealousy. Amen. You jealous that they didn't do it for you. The same thing that you would say to somebody else, if it happened to you, you'd be making excuses. Well, you know, God did bless us. Okay, well, God did bless them. Take your mouth off of it. Amen. Allow the blessing to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? And when you allow the blessing to stand, then God gets the glory.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Did I say who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And when he gets the glory, guess what? All things are well. Remember, we are here to be to the praise of his glory. My job as a child of God is to make sure God gets his glory. While you trying to get some glory out of it so people can see that you have some glory on your life, guess what? You don't need his glory. You need his grace.
Ooh, I wish I could preach that.
Once you get that, things will happen for you. Let's finish reading this 9th verse, Philippians 2 and 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Why are we shouting Jesus' name? It brings glory to the Father. Why are we celebrating what Jesus did? It brings glory to the Father. Why are we representing Jesus Christ in the earth? It brings glory to the Father. If you are going to do the work of God and walk this out, remember, it's not your glory. It's his glory. I wish I had time to go into a few more scriptures because there's several things that I want to really pull out that he was showing me. And as I was looking at it, I saw that in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and I don't have time to go to it. There were some things that he said. You know, when we see it and we understand what is going on, we see that God has really blessed us. And as he has blessed us, it is our job to bless others. We got to learn how to operate in love again. And as we begin to love, the world begins to experience not a perverted form of love, not a false sense of love and acceptance. They begin to experience the love of Christ, the love that he left for us, the love he showed us, the love we're supposed to be showing to others. And that love causes us to love people past their fall. Can we get to doing the work that God called us to do? I challenge you, love him and do the assignment. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, because you're awesome in everything that you do. Now, I pray right now, Lord, if there's someone who is not saved, Lord, that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, I pray for them now that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they may be matured and they may be developed and go on to do the work that you want them to do. And I pray for every saint, every listener right now. Oh God, I pray for every listener that's hearing this, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and their minds. For those who are in leadership, Lord, for those who are part of the ecclesia, Lord, I pray right now miracles, signs, wonders manifest among them right now. Help us to understand our job is to be to the praise of your glory. Help us, Lord, to stop seeking your glory for ourselves, but seek your grace upon our life so that we can produce the glory that we give back to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, for manifestation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Partner with us and help us to spread this gospel around the world. Don't forget October 18th and 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny in Cocoa, Florida. We're looking forward to seeing you and for you to be there with us. Let's celebrate Jesus and be blessed during this time of fellowship and worship. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen,
Prophetess McQueen
of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.